She hurried down the stairs and let herself out of the front door. Snow hung in the air. It was not a poetic description. It hovered like the stars. When flakes touched Susan, they melted with little electric flashes. There was a lot of traffic in the street, but it was fossilized in time. She walked carefully between it until she reached the entrance to the park. The snow had done what even wizards and the watch couldn't do, which was clean up Ankh-Morpork. It hadn't had time to get dirty. In the morning, it had probably looked as though the city had been covered in coffee meringue, but for now, it mounded the bushes and trees in pure white. There was no noise. The curtains of snow shut out the city lights. A few yards into the park, and she might as well be in the country. She stuck her fingers into her mouth and whistled.
"You know, that could have been done with a bit more ceremony," said the raven, who'd perched on a snow-encrusted twig. "Shut up. It's good, though, better than most women could do. Shut up."
They waited. "Why have you stolen that piece of red paper from a little girl's present?" said Susan.
"I've got plans," said the raven darkly.
They waited again. She wondered what would happen if it didn't work. She wondered if the rat would snigger. It had the most annoying snigger in the world. Then there were the hoofbeats, and the floating snow burst open, and the horse was there. Binky trotted round in a circle and then stood and steamed. He wasn't saddled. Death's horse didn't let you fall. "If I get on," Susan thought, "it'll all start again. I'll be out of the light and into the world beyond this one. I'll fall off the tightrope." But a voice inside her said, "You want to, though, don't you?" 10 seconds later, there was only the snow. The raven turned to the death of rats.
"Any idea where I can get some string?"
"Squeak."
She was watched. One said,
"Who is she?"
One said,
"Do we remember that death adopted a daughter? The young woman is her daughter."
One said,
"She is human."
One said,
"Mostly."
One said,
"Can she be killed?"
One said,
"Oh, yes."
One said,
"Well, that's all right then."
One said,
"We don't think we're going to get into trouble over this, do we? All this is not exactly authorized. We don't want questions asked."
One said,
"We have a duty to rid the universe of sloppy thinking."
One said,
"Everyone will be grateful when they find out."
Binky touched down lightly on Death's lawn. Susan didn't bother with the front door but went round the back, which was never locked. There had been changes, one significant change at least. There was a cat flap in the door. She stared at it. After a second or two, a ginger cat came through the flap, gave her an "I'm not hungry and you're not interesting" look, and padded off into the gardens. Susan pushed open the door into the kitchen. Cats of every size and colour covered every surface. Hundreds of eyes swiveled to watch her. It was Mrs. Gammage all over again, she thought. The old woman was a regular in Beers for the company and was quite gaga, and one of the symptoms of those going completely yo-yo was that they broke out in chronic cats. Usually cats who'd mastered every detail of feline existence except the whereabouts of the dirt box. Several of them had their noses in a bowl of cream. Susan had never been able to see the attraction in cats. They were owned by the kind of people who liked puddings. There were actual people in the world whose idea of heaven would be a chocolate cat. "Push off the lot of you," she said. "I've never known him have pets." The cats gave her a look to indicate that they were intending to go somewhere else in any case, and strolled off, licking their chops. The bowl slowly filled up again. They were obviously living cats. Only life had colour here. Everything else was created by death. Colour, along with plumbing and music, were arts that escaped the grasp of his genius. She left them in the kitchen and wandered along to the study. There were changes here, too. By the look of it, he'd been trying to learn to play the violin again. He'd never been able to understand why he couldn't play music. The desk was a mess. Books lay open, piled on one another. They were the ones Susan had never learned to read. Some of the characters hovered above the pages, or moved in complicated little patterns as they read you while you read them. Intricate devices had been scattered across the top. They looked vaguely navigational, but on what oceans? And under which stars? Several pages of parchment had been filled up with Death's own handwriting. It was immediately recognisable. No one else Susan had ever met had handwriting with serifs. It looked as though he'd been trying to work something out. Not Klatch, not Hawonderland, not the Empire. Let us say 20.